This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcons tight end, and you're listening to TNT, Thursday Night Tailgate. Brace yourself for the explosion.
Now back and making his 11th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is not only one of our favorite guests, but also one of our favorite people on the planet, and that's SiriusXM radio host Zig Fricassi. When you check out Zig's profile on Twitter, what you're going to see is host/anchor for SiriusXM NFL and SiriusXM Sports, contributor to SiriusXM NHL, college hockey enthusiast, underrated brilliance, which we couldn't agree with more, and NCHS Distinguished Alumni Hall of Fame. What you won't see is that he's also a Thursday Night Tailgate guest Hall of Famer. Zig is one of the great interviewers that you're going to hear anywhere and just one of the great people you get to meet in this life. And we're very excited to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Zig, Chris and Bob, how are you, my friend?
Hey, guys, how are you? Always good to be with you.
Doing great.
So, Zig, we know what a great hockey fan you are, and I want to get your perspective because earlier this week, Bob and I had the opportunity to sit down and spend some time with Jim Craig, yesterday being the 40th anniversary of the first game that they played in those Winter Olympics, the game against Sweden that they tied. But wanted to get your memories of those games and that USA team.
You know what, Chris? I mean, gosh, going back to 1980, I mean, there was so much, you know, going on with, the United States and the situation there in Iran. And it seemed as though, you know, the whole country was kind of in the dumps a little bit because, after the President Carter, and then they're making the change ultimately to Ronald Reagan. It was just a pall, if you will. But I remember being in high school. It was my freshman year. NCHS, by the way, is Niagara Catholic High School, and where I went to school. And, of course, they awarded me the Distinguished Alumni, and then they closed the school the week before I'm to receive the award. But that's another story for let me digress just a second there. Yeah, I was supposed to receive the award last year, and I can't kid you guys, getting ready to go to the ceremony, because I live in Jersey now working for SiriusXM, and then going back towards the Niagara Falls area, I get a notification that they closed my high school, unfortunately, and, the rising cost, and unfortunately also, the issue going on with needing money, let's just say, to pay off these lawsuits and everything. So I kid about it, but I really feel bad because those young people are missing out on a great education. So, but back to that time, I was a freshman at Niagara Catholic, and I remember going to one of our school's hockey games after school that day, and then I had remembered that they were playing the Russians, and I remembered a few weeks earlier, the Soviets just waylaid this team at Madison Square Garden. I think it was like 10-2, 10-3, the final score. So, I'm like, what chance do they have against them? And, then all of a sudden they're keeping the game close, and Jim Craig's making these otherworldly saves, and, Mark Johnson's playing out of his mind, and Aruzioni with the big goal, and Harrington, and Mike Ramsey on the blue line, O'Callaghan, and I'm thinking, wow, this could be an upset of epic proportions. And then, they took Tretiak out, and that really kind of opened the door for things. And, I got to say, guys, 40 years later, that still might be the biggest upset, I think, in sports that I have ever seen. And simply because you're talking about, these hardened, men of the Russian Red Army, for goodness sake. We're talking about grown men and professionals, and some of them of iconic status. I mean, the coach, Tretiak in goal, and the legendary players that they had there, Mikhailov and Valery Kharlamov and a lot of these guys, just to see that was just absolutely astounding. And I think it, really kind of became something that the country rallied around. And I think, it was one of those things that they showed it in prime time, though a lot of people, Chris and Bob, actually knew the score ahead of time, so you almost had to feign surprise, but still, 40 years to the day, it's still maybe the landmark seminal event, at least in my sports viewing lifetime.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you for, because that's exactly how I feel about it, Zig. That win over the Soviet Union might be the single greatest sporting event of my lifetime. And, you know, I mean, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, and the six Super Bowls, and, you know, the Red Sox with their World Series championships, and the Penguins with their five Stanley Cups, and all of those things completely thrilling. Jack Nicklaus winning the 86th Masters, another one. But I think that game against the Soviet Union is the greatest thing I've ever seen in sport. Where does it rank for you?
Chris, and, you know, I've seen, you know, my teams win, you know, championships in my lifetime. That's always, you know, a thrill. You know, the Bruins ending a 39-year Stanley Cup drought in 2011 beating Vancouver, that's going to rate right up there with me, because then I actually saw Boston win a championship in my lifetime. Boy, I mean, we've seen it all. I mean, we've actually seen now recently a 16 defeat a 1 in the NCAA tournament. You know, NC State over Houston in 83, that was absolutely big. You know, there's been a lot. I think what Stanford a few years ago, they were, what, about a 5-touchdown underdog? They beat USC straight up. I know you had the great Lynn Cain on. That's what kind of made me think of that for a little bit. But if that's not one, it's definitely like 1A. Or, you know, like the great Bum Phillips used to say, roll call, it don't take long. So it doesn't take long for the roll call to where that impacts, you know, in terms of the, at least in my, you know, gosh, 40, 45 years of coherent sports viewing, you know, because, you know, being 54 years old like I am, started to remember things when I was like about 8 or 9 years old. So that would be 1 or 1A, definitely.
How about that? We're the exact same age. Zig, you mentioned your Bruins. You look at where they're at right now, you know, the number one team in all of hockey, only lost two games so far this season at home. You got the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, they won 8 in a row. St. Louis making a bid to go back-to-back with their great season that they're having. My Penguins bring in Jason Zucker from the Wild and a trade this week that I think is going to bolster them. What are you expecting from the rest of this NHL season?
Wow. Yeah, and I'll commend you. You know, I thought that was one of those, win-win deals, I think, for both teams, because Pittsburgh's obviously getting a proven commodity, and you're getting a guy on term, meaning that he's under contract, so he's locked in for the next couple of years. Whereas Minnesota, I mean, Galchenyuk was a top 10 pick who's kind of bounced around the league, and you wonder why that is. Maybe now he finds a home in Minnesota. The kid, I think his last name's Addison, is a highly thought of prospect, and I think Minnesota needs to get younger. And anytime you get a first round pick, whether it's, you know, even, you know, high teens, low 20s, where the Penguins would project in the standings, that's still a good move. And, you know, Billy Guerin, obviously familiar with the Pittsburgh organization, so he found a familiar trade partner there. I think Boston will make a move before the deadline. I still think they need a top six scoring winger, maybe a little depth on the defense. St. Louis, let's keep Jay Bouwmeester in our prayers. Apparently doing very well now, thankfully, but he's still in the hospital there in Anaheim, and they still haven't determined what caused him to black out the other night. Really horrific-looking incident. Reminded me a few years ago of the Rich Peverly blackout when he was with the Dallas Stars, and then a little more recently, Yuri Fisher, very young defenseman with the Detroit Red Wings. He had an episode. He hasn't been able to play again, so keeping Jay Bouwmeester in our thoughts and prayers. I still think St. Louis will be a factor out west. Don't really know who's going to win the Pacific, because there's five teams separated by 2 points. But I think if McDavid comes back within a couple of weeks and Edmonton can kind of stay around, I'd probably give a slight lean to them, though I think they need some scoring help themselves. But it's going to be competitive going down in the last 25 games here.
Bob, questions for Zig?
Hey, Zig, it's always an honor to have you on the show, and we haven't spoke with
you
for a few months, and got a few NFL things to throw at you. Zig, we talked earlier in the show about the Dallas situation and what might become of the quarterback thing with Prescott and the money he's looking for, Zig, and whether or not this is going to work for them financially and with the egos down there and everything. Give us your insight into where the Dallas Cowboys stand as a franchise now. Going to have a new head coach. Looks like a lot of things are happening, but it looks like Prescott wants to break the bank and win at the same time. Tell us all about what you know about Dallas these days.
Well, Bob, they're definitely in a bit of a transition, and obviously, you know, Jason Garrett's a good man, high character individual, and he was a good coach. I mean, you don't get to, you know, the playoffs like they did on multiple occasions without being, at the very least, a good coach. But I think, you know, his inability or stubbornness to be flexible during games, Bob, I think really hurt him. That's why he's no longer the coach, and I think he's going to be a good fit for the Giants with working with Daniel Jones. Mike McCarthy obviously had the year off after being fired in Green Bay. I think he's definitely shown that he wanted to learn a few things, a lot of intense study and some breaking down players and all this kind of thing. I'm a little biased because Mike Nolan's a friend of mine. He was my co-host a few years ago on NFL Radio, and he's the new defensive coordinator, so I'm rooting big time for him, and I like what they've done with the coaching staff. You alluded to Dak Prescott, and it's one of those things where Jerry Jones even said last year, we want to get something done, but at the same time, you know, we do have cap room, but we've got other guys that we need to, you know, take care of. Amari Cooper. Do they bring back Byron Jones, the star corner? You know, it's one of those things where, yeah, we want to pay you, but maybe put the ego aside just a little bit here, and we can keep these other guys and still have enough to spend for other free agents. So it's up to Dak at this point. I mean, if he thinks he's worth $40 million, I got news for you. He's not. Though he is 40-24 in his four seasons, two division titles, and I don't think it was his fault this year that they didn't get there. I think there were other factors that came into this, so I still think he's a franchise-type quarterback for them, but if they have to franchise him, Bob, maybe that's what they wind up doing because they could still have cost certainty in that relative aspect and be able to take care of Cooper and whoever else either they want to retain from their own team or, you know, maybe look on the outside and see who they'd like to bring in. I'll tell you, a real nice addition would be Chris Jones, but you wonder what he's going to command, and if Kansas City could afford to keep his services because he's an absolute disruptor as a defensive tackle.
And, Zig, our heads are spinning here as we outlined some of the Tom Brady scenarios earlier in the show, and I think Tony Collins, Chris, and I think we're kind of in the consensus that his best scenario would probably be to stay in New England and surround himself with a couple more weapons, get back to that tight end-based offense, et cetera, and retire as a Patriot. But what have you heard, Zig? What do you think might happen? And is it something that maybe we didn't mention yet?
You know, guys, I've heard, well, from, you know, people that I know that are pretty reliable and familiar with Patriots, and the general belief is they don't think Tom's going to leave. But if that's such the case, and I know the league year doesn't start until March 18th. So maybe that's where a lot of these decisions need to be made. So, but you know what? I mean, we've seen this in the last couple of years, maybe a little bit of, you know, friction here and there. Maybe things aren't so hunky-dory with Brady and Belichick after a while. I think a fair scenario or thought process is maybe Tom wants to finally cash in and get that big paycheck. And I can think of two places that need a headline entertainer, if you will, to open their new stadiums. The Chargers out in L.A., they're going to share that playpen with the Rams. And, oh, by the way, their skill people, I think, are as good, if not better, than New England's. So you got that factor, and plus it's closer to his California home. Or, you know, does John Gruden want to, you know, have him with the you know, with Aerosmith and Shania Twain and all the headliner residents in Vegas there and have a grand opening there for that Allegiant Stadium with the Raiders. So And Chris, you're old enough to know too. Guys like Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana,
right.
Bobby Orr, Wayne Gretzky, guys like of that ilk, they didn't close their careers with the teams that they were so known for. So, you know, everybody's like, oh, Brady's got to go back. Brady's got to go back. No, he doesn't. It's free agency. He can decide to do what he wants, and his legacy is already set. But again, I think I outlined some factors there why he might leave. And, you know, maybe Belichick realizes, I may not have much longer in terms of coaching. Maybe I start letting Josh McDaniels run things, and maybe we start looking at the quarterback we want to bring in, because, you know, Tom Brady's closer to the end than he was, obviously, the beginning. So I think in the final analysis, and even Tom Brady Sr. said this, guys, this won't end well with New England. I just wonder if those words are going to be prophetic in the next couple of weeks and months.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more, Zig. And to Bob's point, when we were talking at the top of the show, we mentioned the two teams that you first brought up, the Chargers and the Raiders. But let me throw you a couple of curveballs, because one of them is your Dallas Cowboys. What do you
all
think
right,
about...
All right, I'm
going
to steal the signs first to make sure, okay? I'm sorry, I had to get that in. I'm banging the drum as we speak. Go ahead.
What about your Cowboys bringing
there,
him
sir.
In? Nah, no worries. Absolutely. Yeah. We deserve that. What do you think about the Cowboys making a run? They decide, you know what, Dak isn't worth the $30 or $40 million. We're probably a quarterback away. We've got some, you talk about skill positions. They've got a couple of players in the skill positions. Could that be the fast track to Dallas getting themselves a Super Bowl?
That would be an interesting marriage, wouldn't it, with Mike McCarthy and Tom Brady, of course, longtime rivals and everything, and, you know, another guy who's not afraid to make the bold move and definitely has the wherewithal to do it would be Jerry Jones. But, I don't understand. Maybe it's just me, but I think Dak Prescott is, maybe he's not a top 3 to 5 quarterback at this level. But again, I mean, he's entering, what, his fifth year in the league, been in the playoffs twice. I think he's got tremendous temperament and leadership abilities. And what do they think of Cooper Rush? I know he was a kid that made the team a few years ago, and they do like his size and arm strength, but, you know, it's going to be up to McCarthy here. Does he think Cooper Rush, if your scenario, Chris, lays out, would they even trade Prescott and then try to make the move for Tom Brady? Then you better have a good backup on hand already. Now, that would be a tip, too. What if Dallas drafted a quarterback this year? Then that would really start to make you wonder what their future plans are. But I just don't see that happening. I know Michael Irvin laid out that scenario, but I'm just not seeing that one. Although in fantasy land, it could happen. Tom Brady on America's team.
Let me switch gears a little on you. What are your thoughts on the XFL? How do you feel about what you're seeing week one XFL, and what do you see as their future?
Chris, I got to be perfectly honest. I was on the air both days when the games were going on, so I just, if you will, batted a casual eyelash at it. So I don't want to, you know, BS you and say, oh, I thought it was great or I thought it was terrible, but from what I've been able to gather, people I talk to, and obviously, you know, the Twitter fantasy and all this kind of thing, the Twitter timeline, actually a lot of people liked the way the game was played. So, again, it's more football than it was in its first incarnation when it was all sizzle and he hate me and all this kind of nonsense. So I think from a pure football standpoint, I've been told it's actually pretty good. And you've got some guys who've been in the NFL who are playing in this league. So that's, again, from what I've heard. I haven't watched a full game. And I don't know if I'm quite conditioned yet, Chris, to watch a full year of football. And, you know, I like my break. And then I love my CFL, as you know. So I got my respite there, but because I'm conditioned to watch hockey a long season. I'm conditioned to watch basketball when the Celtics are good. I'm conditioned to watch baseball, and I think my Reds are actually going to be pretty good this year. because you're conditioned to watch those long seasons. I'm not sure I'm conditioned enough to watch the XFL. So I know it's a long, convoluted answer I gave you, but that's just how I see it.
Yeah, and just take that a half step further, Zig. It doesn't become oversaturation of football because the NFL now is pretty much, and Bob mentioned this earlier, you know, a 365-day thing.
Yeah.
Everything that, you know, things that we didn't used to have much purview into, like the combine, you know, the draft over an entire weekend, and then the OTAs and training. It's a full year thing. Could we be in oversaturation?
Well, then don't tell my superiors at NFL radio that. No, I'm just kidding. Because we think we cover the NFL the best of any outlet that there is. But I get what you're saying.
And you do.
That, you know, we appreciate that. And I don't think we're covering, if you will, the XFL, but we've conditioned our listeners now, and this is why I love, you know, actually doing the shows in the off season. It's the challenge now of, you know, building those rosters. And yeah, there is more interest now in the combine and the draft and everything like that. So I guess if you're a casual fan, you'll watch a game or two of this XFL, but you're going to be realizing this isn't the NFL. And it's not going to have a landmark merger like the AFL and NFL did in the 60s, or be like the USFL, which I thought was a legitimate competition to the NFL in the 80s and had the occupant at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue now not move the league to the fall. I think the USFL could have stayed and done some big-time damage. So it's not that type of competition where you would actually watch a few games here and there.
Bob, one more for Zig before we let him go?
Sure, I'll throw one more NFL thing at you, Zig, since we brought this up earlier, too, and I think it's a fascinating topic, and that's the Cleveland Browns, as you know, coming into this past season, Zig. Some people thought they had the Super Bowl talent, which they might have had, but we didn't know too much about Freddie Kitchens or anything else. Fast forward everything, Zig, 6-10, nightmare, got a few knuckleheads on the team, loose cannons. Now they bring in Stefanski as a head coach, Joe Woods as a coordinator. Is this finally the regime that can actually clean this up? Or what do you see for the next few years about this? Because Chris and I have no idea where this can go right now.
Well, yeah, that makes three of us. But in all seriousness, I mean, you know, that was a situation there where there was half the building in Cleveland, and I've confirmed this with some people I know. They wanted Stefanski over the guy they fired, Freddie Kitchens. So I guess the second time hopefully is the charm, because they like his creativity and like his people skills and everything like that. I think they've got themselves a gem for a GM and Andrew Berry. Scott Pioli and I had him on this year. He's friends with Scott, and I've been told that he is a very, very sharp individual, really good evaluator, and don't let the sort of soft-spoken demeanor fool you. He can make some hard decisions. So they might have their guy to run this thing, and then obviously, you know, Myles Garrett, let's hope he's been repentant and, you know, sorry for what he did. He appears to be. I know last night doing the show with the Hall of Famer Bill Polian, who knows him rather well. He's a, you know, articulate young man, good parents and everything like that. It was very uncharacteristic. So let's just hope that it was, you know, sort of that one time it all snapped scenario, and that he's able to, you know, get his path back going the way that he should in terms of dominating. The whole thing to that is they got to rein in, you know, OBJ, Jarvis Landry. They're talented, but sometimes it almost appeared as if the inmate, you know, the sort of the players were one in the operation. I got to watch my wording here, but it just seemed as though things got out of hand, you know, and maybe Baker, instead of doing all these commercials and all these gigs and everything like that, maybe he just needs to focus on football and be the leader that they want him to be.
He is Zig Procassi, one of the greatest radio show hosts in the history of broadcasting. If you think I'm exaggerating, you've never listened to one of his shows. Go check him out on SiriusXM. You're going to see what I'm talking about. Zig, thank you so much. for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a part of the show. Always a privilege having you here.
Chris and Bob, you guys, like I've said on several occasions, when you had Lynn Cain on, Tony Collins, you know, they may not be the biggest names of all time, but the hardcore fan remembers them. And it's some of these guys that kind of get a little bit lost in the shuffle, and that they had productive careers and probably productive lives after football, and what you and Bob do, it's phenomenal. I'm honored to be on with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, sir.
You're the best, my friend. Take care. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up soon.
Anytime. See you, Zig. Anytime. Thank you.
Good night, Zig.
That's a great Zig Fracassi, Bob. You know, every time he comes on, is as insightful a guy about the game of football and hockey as you're going to find anywhere.
Oh, yeah, Chris. So again, and, you know, we didn't throw any basketball and things like that, but he's an overall sports fan. But as you can see, he does his homework and been such a good friend to us for so long. And I really look forward to talking to Zig. Anytime you have a TNT Hall of Famer, and we had two of them tonight, it's a special show, Chris. So that was fun. I mean, Zig is Zig.
Indeed, he's fantastic. All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on our Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive. Here are two more great stories about guys out there doing great things in their communities, and we'll do that on the other side of this real quick station break.